This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Hi, I'm Ash.
Hi, I'm Steven.
I write fan fiction.
I'm a podcaster and a comedian, and neither of us
have seen a lot of movies, so we decided to get caught up
on our catalog of movies, and while talking about it,
I decided that we should podcast all of it.
And now, 2 years later, we're still at it.
And we're kind of a little bit more professional than ever. He wants to touch the...
Hiney.
Bryan Cranston. The one that knocks,
that is,
and the one that sends the Power Rangers after going touch things.
He wants to get vertical on the limbo shack.
What the f-
She is your soulmate because the Lord has told me.
What? What? He wants to jump through that tent and into the canyon and fly away while holding a ketchup bottle. I don't know how it works.
He wants to Left Eye Lopez for Destiny's Child.
So join us every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher,
or here on the Pants Pending Studios podcast network,
which you can find at
pantspending.com. I'm Burr Martin from the Burr Martin Experience podcast. Now, as an A-list celebrity...
Brad Pitt is an A-list celebrity.
As a B-list celebrity...
Nicolas Cage.
As a C-list celebrity...
David Hasselhoff.
As a D-list celebrity...
Shia LaBeouf.
As a D-plus celebrity, join me here on the Pants Pending Network, where I discuss everything from comedians, kids, news stories of the week, and even down to asking... What the heck was that foil S thing Superman threw at Nan during Superman 2? So make your week better. Look, I'm a celebrity, and I'm doing a free podcast. You know what? You're welcome. That's the Burr Martin Experience. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, or even right here on the PantsPending.com network.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
If you're just popping a deep-fried bull testy in your mouth, how do you know it's not going to splooge in your face?
Get ready for The Social Hour.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am your host, Deese. Thanks for hanging out for another great episode. We've got a lot coming up here for you in the next hour or so. We've got Jay in the house. Jay, how's it going?
I'm doing really good. How about you, Deese?
Ah, fantastic. I'm doing pretty well. Traz, not in the building this evening. He is out for the night. He will be back. We have a couple more weeks with Traz before he is off on his grand adventure to find himself. You know, he tells us that. I think he's going to Thailand to transition, which I'm fine with. I'm okay. I appreciate that. I you know, as long as you want to be you. So, yeah.
Trina. And
also in the studio, we are joined by the co-authors of the Kiss the Messenger series. Dear friends of mine, you know them from all over town. Give it up for Tony Russell and Devin Devine.
It's great to be here. Jeez.
Thanks.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. It's probably not when you guys hear this, but I don't know. We're still working on getting episodes out. When you hear this, you'll of course have episodes out because you're listening to this. Mm. But it's been a nightmare dealing with GoDaddy. We're off GoDaddy. We got that handled, but we're trying to figure out. They're like, they literally fucked up the back end of my website so bad that my the lady who does my website work had to go through each individual line of code and like correct errors.
Oh,
it was
geez.
Fucking.
How did
like,
it happen?
They're just assholes.
She deserves
they're
a
just
medal.
Piece of shit.
Or like,
yeah.
So don't use.
I mean,
date.
She's okay. Handsomely paid.
Okay.
So that's she also gets that. She gets that.
That
I'll get
money.
Her a medal. I'll ask her if she would if she
money.
Would take a date instead. Would you just take a medal? I've got this medal
I
won from
a bowling
tournament. I actually have one. Yeah, it's funny. I won a bowling tournament when I was like second grade.
I got this Little League trophy from Goodwill 6 years ago. It's from 1982.
It's priceless.
Have you ever seen those with at Goodwill? They have
oh, it's
like
so
trophies.
Sad.
You're like, how do you?
And their names are on it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh. God.
I want to create like a web show about getting those and finding the person. Like and giving it back, like buying
down.
It, and be like, "I found this for you, man." You
finding their
yeah.
kid.
Just
and
remember,
like,
you are one something
yeah,
too.
Like,
this is your dad's high school junior varsity wrestling team participation
right.
slip.
He was on the he was on the segregated swim team in 1944.
Oh, no!
Like, he was like Arkansas. Like, oh, your dad was a
that
racist.
Was later.
That was yeah.
Segregation was later.
Would you
yeah.
be racist
42?
If you were just? Like in that class?
Well, I mean, in Arkansas in 1944, I assume everyone was.
Yeah.
Just inherently.
Yeah. so we're going to make it through the show, guys. We're going to have a good time. We have a lot to talk about. I'm trying to survive. I'm a little sick. I generally don't get that sick, but this has been getting me down the last couple of days. I'm trying to get on it faster. Because I
can't imagine you have an immune system though.
I I don't have much
with all the drugs and alcohol.
But also
just cheesecloth,
right? Yeah, there's not much for the bugs to get in there. So you know
it's not a.
What are you? No, are you kidding? You're filled with germs.
No, I'm kidding. I'm pretty good.
His body's hostile to life.
Yeah, it's like it's just a hostile part. Nothing can survive in here.
It's like a desert.
It's just like the entrance to Hades. With like the river Styx, nothing makes it through. No, I actually really have a very good immune system. I rarely get sick.
Or just touch people.
Or touch people or anything. But I'm the guy that I'll eat anything. We were at the Garage Land a couple nights ago. This place downtown here in Spokane. For those of you outside of the area, and we went and had some drinks and stuff. And there was this plate of macaroni and cheese that was left on a table, was like almost completely full. I'm like, oh, I'm like, that looks good. And like this girl, she's like, you can't eat that. And I'm like,
who told you not to eat that?
Yeah. And she's like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
And
this is someone's leftover mac and cheese.
Yeah, I mean, there was a
like,
lot. They looked like they barely got at it. Yeah, so they're like, she basically told me I couldn't, and then when she went to the bathroom, I may have ate some.
That's where you got
okay,
it.
No, but I used to
gross.
Participate in that a lot. So like,
yeah.
Being in the service industry and like working doubles a lot.
Did you munch on people's food?
I would. So like, and it was like always very specific things. So like, I used to work at a redacted French restaurant in Spokane.
Yeah, because there's so many. So how do we? How do we
I used to work there, and they had
one
these amuse-bouche, which were like these little like tasters, and it was always like a spoonful of like gastrique with a nut and a piece of salami, and I would eat,
yeah.
And like if people didn't eat it, I would just eat that, and then people would order these like $16, $18, $20 charcuterie plates, which is like sliced meat and cheese with like baguette and pickles. That's all it was. And people, when they didn't eat something on that cheese, I'd be like, that is a dollar piece of salami that they didn't eat, and I would eat it. And then at Casper Fry,
I mean, dollar retail,
name redacted, whatever.
Casper Fry. That's the nickname for the place
nickname.
We're talking about.
No, my last job, name redacted.
Casper Fry.
Crispy Fries. I was called... Yeah, I was Dish Pit Devin. I would disappear into the dish pit.
And just snack on the leftovers.
Yeah. That's so gross.
It was terrible. It would be like the same thing, though. Like, oh, there's a plate of deviled eggs, and they didn't
eat
the deviled
egg. Yeah, but you didn't even look at, like, who was eating, if they were, like, goblins.
I mean, I was the one. I would be the one taking it from the table to the dish pit. Right. Yeah. It was normally
so
my
you would,
table.
Like, judge.
I would
based
only.
On,
eat,
like,
I would do that, but only if they were like.
I wouldn't eat
cool
it if
looking.
They had taken a bite out of it. Like, I would analyze it, but like my like poor kid upbringing didn't throw away food.
Yeah.
So like scraping food, like I had to do it all the time, but like. Especially though on plates where people
so
like
growing up, but then you get to like change because you're a grown up now. And you don't have to eat like the
eat
leftover like peas.
I can understand
like
that
all
on
of
a
her
fundamental
twist.
Level.
There's like
yeah.
waste, yeah. like food waste yeah. feels wrong.
Did you? Devin probably had like a diabolical plan where she made sure they filled up on bread first, like just got them all the bread. Then they didn't eat most of their meal. They're like, I guess I'll just take that from you. But thanks.
Oh, when I had that happen though, I had somebody leave. Like a full $40 Wagyu steak once.
Oh my god!
And I was like,
I'm fucking
well,
that.
I'm yeah. gonna take that.
It's all yeah. situational.
Yeah. I one time when I was at the beach, I had like a bag of chips, and I woke up to like all these. I fell asleep, and I woke up to all these seagulls that were like eating all the chips, and they're like in pieces around me, and they're like in the bag, and I'm just like, and I just like scattered them away, and I'm like. I'm still fucking.
Oh, that happened
chips.
To us.
I'm like picking yeah. them out of the sand and like these like pre-pelican munched on. They're like, yeah, it's fine.
As long as there's no sand.
We did that. We had a bunch of seagulls eating crackers and cheese, like fancy ass brie.
having this date on the beach and we go over like, let's go put our feet in. And then we look back and there's just like a cloud of seagulls right. like on it.
Yeah. Like tore apart our cracker bag.
They're monsters.
Yeah. It was crazy. Their mouths were like razors. They just like opened yeah. up our backpack yeah. and shit.
But it was funny too because that beach had a ton of sand fleas on it. So then later, once we went to have like our picnic, we're like sitting and it was like, it was right after we got engaged actually. It was like 2 days later. We like drove down to Santa Barbara and it was this nice beach. And then like we sit down on the towels after getting our feet wet and we've chased off those seagulls. And at this point, there's these tiny little like sand fleas like jumping.
Oh, God, yeah,
and gross. then as you keep walking further down the beach, when you take a step,
aura.
It's like, a cloud comes up.
Like
of them.
In, like,
oh,
like
it was
dust.
Awful. It was like having.
We still had a really good time considering it was. And those like wasted old guys played bocce ball through our picnic.
Oh team. Yeah,
they were like blacked out. Like, you guys don't mind, right? And I'm like, no, nah, man.
I mean,
that's like,
fine. Yeah,
over.
Do we have a choice?
They like hit the wine bottle.
That's yeah. 2 extra points.
They went through our legs. To...
Yeah, I'll eat anything. My immune system is great. I live my life like
food.
A sewer rat. Like because if you introduce everything in your body, then you don't worry about it. Like that's not how so you don't.
I
get
did
sick.
That with sex stuff too.
How did that work out?
Sex stuff. I don't know. Like I remember being 23 and getting tested. And the lady were like, yeah, you're clean. And I actually was like, wow. And she was like, what? And I was like, oh, I'm just surprised.
Yeah.
She's like, that's terrible. And I was like, I don't know. I felt like the rate we were going at.
Yeah, I never felt, you know, had the least amount of faith in science as after a test.
I'm a little curious what that means.
Well,
but
you know.
But I mean, there's still plenty of time.
hit me.
Maybe when I'm in my 80s.
River runner
we'll
here.
Start.
Let's see if we can get this going.
You'll catch the clap in your 80s.
Tony and I will just start having massive orgies when we hit 50.
Yes.
Yeah. 50s? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Why not?
I'm gonna do everything. I'm just gonna do all the drugs.
I feel like after 50, you can just give up on everything.
I did that at 30. So look at me now. We'll make it through. I'll eat anything. I'm fine. I'm healthy. I got. It's gonna be good. We're gonna be all right. Part of the reason I actually am so diligent now when I get sick is because a couple years ago when I was sick, I got bronchitis that turned into pneumonia, turned into pancreatitis. And I was like extremely ill for like 9 months, right?
Jeez.
And you know, you guys are in my house. I was living alone here, and I actually, it was so bad that I had a used to have a mattress on the floor in this spare bedroom down here, and I was like, I couldn't even get upstairs. I was just like laying in,
so
I just like lay in there all day, and I was out of work and just doing nothing, just laying in bed. And it got to the point where I was like aspirating at night, like coughing up blood. So I finally went to the doctor. Right, I got up and like got to the doctor, and he takes an X-ray of my lungs, and he comes in and he's like, shows me the X-ray. He's like, you see those? See that? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And he goes, see how they're all white? And I'm like, yeah, I have really good lungs. They're fucking awesome. Perfect white.
He's like, they're supposed
he's
to
like,
be
no.
gray.
He's like, no, that's all fluid. He's like, your lungs are completely full of fluid. He goes, if you would have waited, like, I don't know, another night for sure. He goes, you would have drowned in your sleep. Like, you would have died. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm surprised you waited that long.
Do you always wait until you're coughing up blood before going to the doctor?
No, not anymore. That's my point.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to be really bad at taking care of myself, though.
I'm the opposite. I feel like a weird tingle and I'm at the fucking doctor's. Like, what's wrong with me?
Sometimes I feel a weird tingle at the doctor. Like, ooh.
Well, hey there.
Hey there. What are you doing there? I didn't ask for a prostate check. I'm not saying no, though. So, yeah. Just don't get it. It's bad. It's a couple days of... There's no stomach, at least. That's the worst.
Yeah. Well, we're trapped in this tiny room with you, so...
Yeah, Jay made sure that the door stayed open, so we didn't know.
Air circulates a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go home and just, like, eat a whole lemon each.
Yeah. I don't have scurvy. I don't know what... They're eating the SARS masks.
Of course Tony has these in his bag. No, it'll mute our voice on the
Do
mic.
Do you have three?
No, sorry, Jay. Yeah, I actually licked all those mics before you guys came here.
I'll wear one.
So, are we doing it?
I got a pretty good.
Yeah, I'll wear one, Jay.
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. You guys are going to look like you're like Asian.
Yeah, what side do you wear?
The
blue side?
The blue side.
Yeah.
What do
put
you?
It over your nose, over the bridge.
They're all putting SARS masks on.
Oh, you have
on.
To put it underneath
it
them.
Opens
yeah.
up.
They look like escapees from 28 Days
oh,
Later.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
It opens?
Cool. Can you still hear me?
Oh, whoa.
Can you still hear me, Okadies?
Synced up.
Oh, I turned your mic off a long time ago.
You
better.
we need to get a photo of this.
This
is not fucking pleasant.
I can't. I don't know. I can barely hear you now.
I feel like a zombie extra. Can you?
Oh, look, they're taking selfies. There you go. Perfect.
Emotion.
Girls never miss an opportunity
to
take a picture.
Hold on. I gotta take my glasses off.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. So people don't recognize
Jack
you. Yeah. Like, she's like Superman.
No.
Take my glasses off.
They're too reflective. They're cheap glasses.
All right. You ladies feel better? You safe?
I do. And we got some sexy selfies, so.
Okay, good.
I don't think sexy is high on that description.
No, I end up getting sick.
Tony, like, dies.
I'm like,
Tony passed
away. I'm
making
a stand.
This is so warm, though. I don't feel like this is going to last.
I know. I feel like I'm
just
about
breathing
to pass out.
That's the point, ladies.
Yeah,
it's so hot.
Yeah.
So hot.
Oh, yeah. We
little mini face sauna.
We covered those with ether.
Why'd we have to eat it?
Just breathe it in.
And we had pure soy sauce for dinner, so that's all I'm breathing.
Oh shit. I don't even think I told you. So sorry to
no.
We're talking about being like sickness and like stuff like that. So we mailed a copy of one of our books to one of my friends from the military that lives in Texas. And he has some, like, he works for like some high end job at like some aerospace company, and he trains other countries' militaries for jet engine maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent, when we mail out a copy, we send out like, usually like we have like a whole jar full of those from the novelty machines, like the little things.
In Mootsie's bathroom.
So I sent it, and he's like, dude, what the hell is this? He like called me up. He's like, there's a little like, he's like, I've got like high-end government job. Like, you can't be like sending me drugs or anything like this. He's like freaking out. I was like, oh no, that's a cock ring.
It's just a cock
ring. Just a cock ring.
I was at Mootsie's a while back with a friend, and she's like, I was in the bathroom, and they had this thing that said, climate control. I was looking at him like, do you mean climax control? Like, climate control? Like, Al Gore's been lying to us all along. It's only 50 cents. It's way cheaper than I thought.
Save the world 50 cents at a time. Have you seen those change the world or change the things downtown? It's bright orange parking meters.
Yep, I have.
And what is that?
it's actually a deep, like, mind you, we put rocks under the freeway for $150,000 about 2 months ago. But it's these bright orange, like this bright, bright color parking meters downtown. There's one right by Auntie's that I've seen. And the change from that is donated to local homeless shelters.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yes. Very slow building initiative, I guess. Yeah. But
yeah, they just kind of popped up. There's quite a few of them now. Yeah, some by Auntie's. There's one in front of Baracho's. Mm-hmm. There's one down in front of like Rain, I think.
And that's a city initiative? Or?
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
yeah.
No, I just put them up. I'm taking all the money, actually.
Imagining drunk people in front of Baracho's putting their change into that at night is really satisfying. Yeah. I haven't gone out on that corner.
The rape triad, as Jay likes to call it.
The Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
I actually was just down there last week. Yeah, my fiance.
I was too, actually.
There was a 90s pub crawl.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, on Saturday.
Yeah, and so my fiance and I dressed up as Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World.
Yes.
Our costumes were fucking awful, but to a
Which
bunch of drunk
you?
People.
Which one were you?
I was Garth. Yeah, but we were like kind of celebrities down there, despite how horrible our costumes looked.
That's fun.
But yeah, because everybody was into it. So.
People buying you drinks.
Oh, yeah. Nice. But when you bought tickets for it, it came with a free drink coupon, and they had this giant plastic container filled with this pineapple
Spody.
Oh, yeah. God. It tasted like,
oh, that's what it was.
Like pineapple vodka and roofies. It was just so bad.
Perfect.
So was it like at the Globe pineapple. And Baracho's?
It was at the Globe, Baracho's. I think Fast Eddie's was a part of it. So, yeah.
I got to sleep somehow.
Yeah.
That corner of town can be fun. I remember the last time I was in the Globe had to have been like two Halloweens ago.
Oh, yeah.
I had never been there at night. I had been there like
a few times
during the day.
Yeah.
Is that their old one or the new one?
I think the old one.
Yeah, because it used to be more like a restaurant. Kind
yeah.
Of. It was like the Red Lion. Like, it had a bar, but it was more like a restaurant.
Like, no AC.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very dingy, like, cavernous looking.
Oh, it moved?
No, it's the same place. They just were closed for a while and then reopened. It's like a bar, like a nightclub type thing.
It's still wildly douchey, though.
Yes. but a couple Halloweens ago, I went there like three nights in a row.
Oh, shit.
The last
That's
time
a dark
I went,
stage.
Was a rough
well,
stage.
You gotta, if you're from Spokane, you gotta try out everywhere. Yeah.
The last time I went to the Globe, it was a couple months ago. It was my buddy's 25th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out and about in that area of town. And I'm like, okay, I'll meet
Very
you guys.
Vague.
Yeah, you know, in that corner. And he's like, I'll meet your Revolver or something. I go to Revolver, they're not there. And they say, oh, we're at the Globe. So I go to the Globe, and there's like these four girls ahead of me who, I mean, like Roman Polanski would have passed on him. They looked so young.
Oh,
and like,
God.
And he's like, I'm like, oh God. And like the bar or the bouncer, like, checks.
But they're like 18 though.
I guess they were 21 or had IDs that said they're 21. Like, he checks their ID, I get up there. I have my ID out. He just looks at me. He's like, you're good.
It's a great feeling.
Like, okay, cool. Yeah.
I always get sad when I don't get carded.
Yeah,
listen, yeah. I know what I look like. This is not a 21-year-old. This is not fresh-faced and rosy.
I don't get sad when I don't get carded, but I get happy when I do. I'm like, well, let me get this for you, bud.
Yeah. Okay,
like,
shine it off. I feel like facial hair is one of those things where, like, you're a man.
Some people I think are just paranoid about
when
their
Tony
job.
Shaves off his facial hair, he loses 8 years.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like, I'm going to be the guy that you have to, like, dust it off and, like, pull it out. It's like a paper in black and white.
It's like shiny.
Right. It's one of those ones where someone was under a sheet with one of those machines, like an old-time photography machine.
Was this made yesterday?
You have to hold still for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my driver's
like
license
sepia tone.
Yeah. My driver's metal license pictures. Photo looks ridiculous because it was during the pixie hair phase.
Mm.
And I wear glasses now, and so every time I have to have someone look at my ID, it's like three looks, and then I get asked, "Oh, that's your real name?" Like,
Devin,
no,
isn't that a boy?
That's just the name I chose for my fake ID.
Devin
Divine.
Shit! It's so real. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk to Tony and Devin about what they've got going on. You guys have a ton going on. Both of them are comedians. Both of them, they do some poetry, some writing. They just published a book. So tell us what's going on, guys.
All of that. We're kind of in, although like I'm doing my comedy, Devin's doing her poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Devin still makes time to do comedy. And then we're kind of in book mode right now, like finishing off our promotion and
yeah, we have another book party happening.
Yeah, book release party, and that'll kind of
when
like
is that?
Set up.
That'll be a Sunday night. That's October 22nd. It'll be a Sunday night. We're getting a baby bar on a Sunday night.
What? Oh, nice. That's awesome.
And so we'll have that
on a band right now.
We'll do like another reading and some live music. And hopefully do like, you know, just talk about the book. I think we had the book signing last month and book release at Auntie's, and we had like a good 30, 40 people come. But then we were like, wow, where are all the people that like came to our release party for the first one? And I was like, well,
oh, yeah, it's in a, they're in
our
bars.
First one was at a bar. I bet you that's where most of the people that were going to come went. Yes. And
how
stayed.
Many did you have at your first release?
We've
had three printings now.
I have had three printings.
Will be the fourth one,
And nice. We're almost sold out of what we have.
Not of the last batch. That's from the beginning of that time.
We're all almost sold out of what we printed the first, like, of the this last printing of both books. So we're going to reprint in the next, like, couple weeks. Doing some more copy editing. Self-publishing is really fun because we keep like giving ourselves these deadlines, and then like, you know,
like crazy deadlines. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're crazy deadlines, and then speed bumps. Like life happens, and we're like, oh, we're doing this ourselves. That's like instead of that, like putting us back like a couple days, it puts us back a week.
Yeah,
and so doing that and like figuring that out, like. We still don't technically have, like, we don't have an ISBN number, which is part of, like, the official
Library of Congress.
Library of Congress. It's how you get your book on Amazon and in through wholesalers. And, like, but that process costs money. And we have sort of put that off because we want to get a business license. We've got a lot. Tony's,
what would you be doing with a business license?
Once we have a business license, what's nice is that like all of the self-publishing that we do, we could keep track of profit and costs. And then all of a sudden, like we're able to write off things like me traveling to Portland and doing a book release.
Got it.
And, you know, and we can write off buying paper and then keep track of like our cost versus earnings and like what we're putting in versus what we're getting back and have that like as official income, which will one day mean that it's taxable income, which is disturbing but to think about us getting to that point. But it's part of, you know, like if this is what we do, you know, taking it seriously and really pushing for it as not just being a hobby, you know. I quit my job 2 months ago now. And so and I actually was just talking to a friend about everything I've got going on and realized I'm about to, you know, have our own business if once we follow through with that. And then with poetry stuff. My involvement in the scene, kind of a like more secret announcement for the next couple of weeks. None of them are going to listen to this. But I'm taking, I'll be taking a bigger role in the Spokane poetry scene, very soon.
What does that mean?
Yeah. The main guy that runs the Spokane poetry scene now, Spokane poetry slam scene, is stepping down. And myself and one other poet are stepping up. And once we do that, we're going to take over and make it into a nonprofit. And once we're a nonprofit, then we can do things like apply for grants, do outreach at schools. And like that all of a sudden takes a whole new level of responsibility and like time and work. And Yeah, and that's and that really is stemming from the fact that, like, so in less than 2 weeks, the individual World Poetry Slam is coming to Spokane.
Really?
And that's, yeah, it's 96 poets from around the world in the United States are coming here and competing in slam poetry. And I am organizing. I'm head of social media for that, which is gross. I hate being on Facebook way more than I hated it 2 months ago. And then I also am competing.
That's right. Awesome. That's really exciting.
Yeah. So that's more or less like what my plates are. Yeah. And Tony's just doing comedy vigilantly.
And Tony, you got some dates coming up. You're going to be in Richland at the end of November, start of December.
Yeah.
Some other side. Yeah.
And I was going to ask you what you're going to do, because you're going to be out there the couple of weeks before that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about transportation? Because I'm like, damn, am I going to drive there and back 3 nights in a row for $100?
I haven't decided yet. Yeah. What's happening? I think I'm going to stay there the first weekend. The second weekend I'm not going to be able to. It's going to be a drive back. But the second weekend's only 2 nights instead of 3.
So. I think that we should go and stay, and then I'll just go strip somewhere in Richland.
Do it. Yeah.
I'll be a major minority. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, you'll be exotic.
They won't have seen a white lady in months.
It'll be like a zebra.
Yeah.
Have you done that since last time?
I haven't, but I'm starting to consider it more seriously now that I don't have, because I'm really trying to be an artist. Now that I don't have, leaving a serving position, like I had flesh cash.
Yeah.
Like being a server and working 40 hours a week, like I was not lacking. She works hard for her money. And so now I'm like, yeah, I could maybe twerk for money. So we'll see. It's the back burner. There's just like the strip clubs in Spokane kind of suck.
Yeah, it's true. The bars attached to the strip clubs are amazing.
You see it like romantic. I don't know. I think you have like this romantic
idea of what it would be like.
Of like you're a college grad that's like saying fuck it all and stripping.
God, that feels like a great movie. I would watch.
I think
that.
That's been a movie. Yeah.
I think I am watching it.
Yeah, he's married to it.
Yeah. Real quick, give us the
all our dates. Do you want all of our?
Yeah, for people who don't know, give us the quick elevator pitch on the book.
Our book,
and then the dates.
Yeah, so the elevator pitch. So, Kiss the Messenger is a crime noir series set in Spokane. It follows the story primarily of an alcoholic vigilante that is raised in a whorehouse. Mm-hmm. And he's now
classic
Spokane. He's now an adult. He's now a grown man. And women in Spokane are going missing. There is a serial.
Did he do it?
There is a serial killer. There is a serial killer going after prostitutes in Spokane, which is a very Spokane story in itself.
Yeah.
And as far
it's only
as
one part of the story, though, the
other
story is like different characters and relationships and crime and covering up crimes and people
dirty
doing
cops.
Dirty favors for each other.
Yeah. Well, I know Jay's read the first one. I've read part of the first one. So we're getting through this.
Well, what I've really enjoyed about it is how you guys write it together. And so, Tony's writing from the male perspective. Devin is writing from the female perspective when they jump into these characters. And
for
I just
the
think,
most part.
Yeah, at least
sometimes,
from what I read. I think that's really great. And you capture those voices well.
Yeah, in the second book, we really started getting more attached to certain characters, though. And like in certain emotions and things that we were writing about in chapters. So there's like a chapter from one of the characters, like the one of the main characters, Kent, is a police officer in the story, and his daughter has been missing for 3 years. And Tony writes a chapter from the perspective of the wife, and he wrote it in like an afternoon, and I'll never forget it because he was like, I just wrote the Hannah chapter. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I just wrote it and it's really good. And he's like, I'm kind of freaked out, like, will you read it? And it was so good, like the first reading of it, I was like, this is so good, where did this come from? He's like, I don't know.
I really liked it too.
And so like that's sort of what's exciting, like when we, after we wrote the first book, I reread Stephen King's On Writing, mm-hmm. and he has this really beautiful section where he talks about how his first reader is his wife, Tabitha. Mm-hmm. She reads all of his books before anyone else does, and he loves watching her read or having her come
and
talk.
You think she hates his books?
That's what I was
thinking. Oh, fuck. Yeah, Stephen, it's great.
She's like, oh,
God damn it.
50 Shades.
Well, she's a writer, too.
Let me get this, you know, the third edition of The Dark Tower.
Let me
awesome.
Guess. He's a writer.
It's
is somewhere
this set
in
the Northeast?
In Maine, yeah. Or Vermont this time? Mm-hmm. Fucking strange. Okay, got it.
But with that in mind, like Tony and I love with this book series writing for each other. Like it's very romantic. Like when we first started dating, this book series was our dates. You know, it was us going out to a Park Inn or the Satellite and like getting a couple beers and getting tipsy and then writing for an hour mm-hmm. or two. And like that's how we like pulled ourselves, you know, into this relationship. And then through that, we're like, oh, this could be a series. And then we're like, five books? That makes sense. And so,
a creepy, I just thought about this. So there's a super creepy feeling that you get when, so we're both writing, right? Like, well, sometimes we'll both be writing the same chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we're connected by Google Docs.
Okay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, like, one person's, you see their cursor show up like in another color, and it starts like following the words down the page, and you're like writing, and it's this, like horrible.
Does it look like a ghost cursor?
Like,
yeah,
chasing
it's like this
you.
Ghost chasing me, like chasing me to write more and stuff. I'm like, Jesus, cute. Get off this document!
Yeah, but our dates that are coming up for Kiss the Messenger, so. We have our books available at Auntie's Bookstore. Both first and second volume are available at Auntie's. The first and second volume are also available at Giant Nerd Books on Monroe. Awesome
yeah,
little
we
indie
just,
bookstore.
Yeah, we just sold
I just heard
there.
About that the day, that place.
It's a really cool one place. Of them is, I mean, they have, like, first editions of, like, all these crazy old books.
Yeah, it's very eclectic in taste, too.
Is that where the old Time Bomb place
yes,
was?
Yes, right next okay. door. And then... our first copy of the book is also available at Baby Bar. Patty's got five copies available there.
Oh, nice.
Little, like, framed.
It's, yeah, it's like Lexon
yeah.
or Lucite case.
Yeah, the county library's got it downtown and Spark Center. But we will be selling and doing readings at Terrain this year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The 5th is preview
yeah,
night. And that's $15 in advance for $20 at the door. And then the 6th, Terrain, the night itself, is free. Tony will be reading a selection from the book.
Yeah, it's not a very big slot.
It's yeah,
like
it's
10 minutes.
So we'll get a little chunk of the book out, hopefully. And then I do poetry that night, too.
All right.
Yeah. And all then right. Our next dates is the Spokane Zine Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm really excited about that. That's October 14th at the Bartlett from 11 to 5.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll catch them, guys. Go to Kiss Promotion. The Messenger on Facebook. Yeah. Like the page, follow it. Great books. Go pick yourself up a copy, hit some of the readings, check it out. And find them around the comedy, doing some comedy. We're going to be doing the, Tony and I are doing the mixtape volume 2 also
yeah.
on November
yeah.
21st at the Bartlett. A little ways out, but not too far out. So check it out, guys. All right, we are going to get into some news here in a minute. But first, we're going to do a truncated version of the rundown with our couple here. And this is just a series of questions we've created over time that we ask guests. And I think it tells a lot about people.
Perfect.
Okay.
I don't think we did this last time.
No, I don't think we have. That's why I'm getting you this time. This is I'm not going to go through all of them with you guys because we're going to go for both of you. First, we talked about it earlier off the air, but what is your guilty pleasure song? The guilty pleasure song, you know what I mean, right? Like a song you don't want other people to
hear.
Like,
I don't give a shit, like, if people hear, you know that I
that
like
Justin Bieber
I
song.
Like, no. I'll listen to some, like, but the closest thing would probably be, like, Whitney Houston, like, old Whitney Houston and, like, Mariah Carey. I can, like, bust that on a Sunday morning and, like, clean.
And DJ Khaled.
Oh, DJ.
You have to answer.
No,
yourself.
that's your guilty pleasure song. I just like brought that up when we went on a trip.
Guilty pleasure song.
You refuse to acknowledge that you listened to it. Yeah, it's him and Justin Bieber. It's like the.
It's just like I feel like.
I highly doubt it's live.
Yeah. Now this is
Whitney.
I think sounds good.
This is how I know Tony's in a good mood, though, if this is playing in the apartment when
once,
I come home.
More than
and he'll
once,
be, like, in his underwear, dancing. Wow.
More than once I've come over to the house, you guys' house, and I think this song has been on. It's a good song.
It's a good song, you know? You can't mess with the classics.
That's right. Devin, do you have a...
I'm also, like, a 70-year-old lesbian.
So. Probably Rihanna... that cake song.
Cake?
I think it's Birthday Cake is the name of the song.
Please pull it up for us. I don't know this one.
Yeah, it's a song.
Is it a popular Rihanna song?
It's featuring Chris Brown.
Uh-oh. That's already a bad start. Suspense.
Is this it? So this is
Devin's
guilty pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come and put your name on it. Yeah.
This is pretty good.
Oh, that music video. Look at her eyebrows.
I kind of like her pixie cut hair, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Rihanna's so fucking hot.
Oh, yeah.
That's her?
Yeah.
She looks hella different, though.
Yeah. That beat right there, that is...
Yeah, I can get that.
Yeah, that's pretty, yeah. Booty,
is this your, like, stripper song?
For your listeners,
the face.
Daisy Dukes squatting.
What is this song about?
I believe cake product.
Hostess.
Hold on. I'm gonna make you my bitch.
Sorry. I really have this kind of light, playful makeup on her.
Yeah.
She looks... Yeah.
All right, great.
She looks... Yeah, pretty hot.
Okay.
We could just leave this song in the background the whole time. It'll be fine.
I want to ask you guys about this song that somebody, a 21-year-old person, told me about. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck any of this is.
How do you know someone that's 21?
I work with it.
Okay.
And sometimes I sleep with them.
Who is it by?
Tony knows this song.
This is a song called Bodak Yellow.
Oh, is this
Cardi B.
Cardi B.
Bodak. What is the word bodak?
I don't know.
We just listened to this all weekend. Bitch, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these she just took number one, though. You can't fuck with her.
This is the first female. She's the first female Lauren Hill hip-hop artist
But is this a good song, though?
I like it. I listen to this when I work out.
I would pop my pussy to this.
Dude, what's the music video look like?
She's amazing. You're gonna like her.
I say she's amazing. I said, but it's a pop song.
It's not even like a good. It's not even like good rap though. I don't understand how this
it's
got popular.
It's just the beat. It's just something to dance to.
I feel like she would dominate me, and I like that.
Yeah.
She's got a lyric in this song.
She used to be a stripper.
There's a lyric in the song. It's like, my lake, like a pussy, you want to swim it with your face.
I can get on board with
that. Yeah, I've also heard, like, entire rap songs that just say the word dick in different, like, vocal tones.
Different cadences. Yeah.
That's what the Whisper song is by.
Those are my guilty pleasures.
I just want
that's high in the list.
I want to create a series, like a called How I Imagine It Went Down. And all it is going to be like, how I imagine pitch meetings happened for certain products and like how these things came to be, like this song. Like at some point someone wrote this song and they're like, this is hot. This is the one.
Oh, well, I bet you it was the beat. This beat's really good.
You could put anybody over this beat and then it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think they did.
Like a banjo.
I definitely like thinking about the pitch meeting for certain songs. Like one of my favorites is Too Many Dicks on the Dance Floor and I'm just like,
that's a
yes.
Real song.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Alright, we're gonna move on. This is an important one, guys. Traz is gonna be upset if you guys get this one right because he's not here.
If we get it right.
go-to okay. pizza topping. You can order anything on your pizza, but if you that's what you had to if you had to order pizza, that's the pizza you have for the rest of your life. No, you can have anything. You have multiple toppings, but it just means that's the pizza you order for the rest of your life. Like, what would it be? So, like, if you anytime
sausage
you order pizza,
stuffed crust.
All right.
Oh, quick. I love you.
No one's ever said stuffed crust.
No, mine's sausage.
Are you into that? Well, I guess tell me in a sec.
Oh, that's totally like my white trash. Like,
mine's
not about the stuffed crust.
I like Italian sausage
it's
with
like a once a year thing.
Red onion and green bell pepper.
All right.
And like that.
I'm on board with that one.
I could have that one too.
But I also am a basic ass bitch when it comes to like Alfredo chicken pizza.
That's good.
Like with like green onion or artichoke hearts.
Ooh.
Like,
oh, you and,
like
the like, weird ass artisan pizzas?
Like, no, I guess I, like pizza pipeline.
Wait, not to be judgmental about it, Jay.
No.
The weird
no, I won't. No, I won't go to like Fire or like Perry Street Pizza and spend $17 on pizza. That's not what I'm about. But like Pizza Pipeline has a bunch of weird bullshit pizzas.
Okay.
We just went grocery shopping.
Yeah, we don't need to. We bought stuff to make pizza.
Oh yeah.
but I love like Pizza Pipeline's like weird bullshit pizzas. But I'm gonna stick with my initial answer of sausage, onion, and green bell pepper.
All right, two. Neither of you won the game. How it works? If somebody, if you guess the exact pizza I would want, I have to order pizza for everyone.
Oh.
No one's got it yet.
I didn't know those steaks.
Oh.
Those steaks.
Can we keep guessing?
No.
Damn it.
You gotta
it's
be
a
honest
mystery
with
until someone wins.
Yeah.
All right. That's fair enough.
So
I really
you're
hope
gonna be
it's
the
not...
asshole that only gets olives
no,
with
no,
no cheese.
No, it's not that. It's not
like
that weird.
Cheese.
It's not that weird. What I get is not that.
Oh.
I just.
Oh,
I've
you
told,
like fucking
you
Hawaiian
just, this
pizza.
This is your like soulmate thing.
I've told everyone there's we've gotten real fucking close before, but I've told everyone there's one ingredient that is missing that no one has got, and when they get it, it's gonna be really fucking obvious, and they're gonna wonder why they never got
I
it.
I said tacos, but apparently that's
no,
not
extra
that.
Cheese.
No, it's not. It's a, it's actually like an like a.
Come on, keep guessing, guys.
Said too much already. All right, if you guys could purge for 1 hour. Like the movie, The Purge. 1 hour. What would you do?
Is that kill anybody?
Sure. Whatever you want to do. The Purge, man.
You have you ever seen the movie
all,
The Purge?
All anything is legal. No. There's not no crime.
The crime
no,
is legal. For, yeah.
Okay. What would I do? Sheesh. Would I have magical powers?
No.
It's still
no.
the life.
Yeah.
Like real life.
You just get to. There's no ramifications.
Is everybody else in The Purge, too?
Yeah, oh, that's how it works.
Yeah, The Purge.
In The Purge, it's set in America, and for one night a year, all crime is legal.
Yeah.
And then everybody just goes hog wild. You either hide, or you just...
I would probably like try and like protect my friends and family.
That's really noble.
Wow, everyone always has a, like an answer like I would fucking murder this person and rob a bank.
No,
like I would just. Would protect my friend. You would like light a building on fire, nothing. You wouldn't want to burn anything down.
There's at least three people
I've
I would murder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we know their? Do we get to know their names?
No. Two of their names I don't even know, and I would have no idea how to find them. But I would love to murder them. And then the other one lives in Spokane and is a business owner, so murdering him would feel very good.
All right.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
All right.
Totally different answers.
Tony will just be following me while I murder.
Yeah, he's
covering up her dead bodies.
Tony's like trying to protect the people
yeah,
she's
I'll
murdering.
I'll be covering up bodies.
Yeah. All right. Last question. If you could have a superpower, what would your superpower be?
World peace. My superpower probably like the Flash or something.
Just run really fast.
Yeah.
No, he just wants to flash people and get away with
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
the flash.
The flasher.
Impeccable public speaking. Like, I could never stumble or say the wrong word when speaking out loud. Like, I would flawlessly be able to say, like...
Well, that's a power you can obtain.
And I would never say the word,
Yeah.
Okay.
Ever. Like, even when I couldn't think of the right word to say...
Obama said, all the time.
True.
Yeah, but I mean, he's black, so.
He's allowed to say,
yeah. I mean.
I didn't know that was a stereotype thing. Like,
I just
oh,
created
you got
it.
Black. Yeah, he's not even black.
I know.
Like...
Yeah, he's from Kenya,
someone
right?
Someone told me he was Muslim.
Oh
he's a
God.
Hawaiian Kenyan Muslim socialist.
I was.
What? Hold on, I'm confused.
God, I overheard these two guys the other day. These older guys, they were sitting next to me in a restaurant, and I swear to God.
A restaurant?
Yeah, a restaurant. And I swear to God, they were like saying things like loud too. They're like, you know, Kaepernick's wife has been a damn Muslim. Stuff like, I'm like, holy crap! I'm like hearing this and
well, like even
why are they
even
acting like it's
was,
a crime to be a Muslim?
What does that
upset about it?
What does that mean? What is that apropos to?
It was just bizarre. They're like getting worked up about it.
All right. Well. All right, guys. We. There it is. That's the rundown. Didn't get the long version. We're doing the short version because we had two of them. But okay, guys. We are speaking of Kaepernick. I know we got some stuff to talk about. So Jay, are you ready with the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's time for the consensual news with Jay. She's gonna tell you what's going on in the world today.
This is so cute.
Propaganda time. So let's fist bump. Celebrity in sports and Donald Trump.
Is that you?
Jay wants old people gone. This is the end to her new song.
We just want to make it clear that Jay absolutely hates old people.
That is not true.
Listen, if there's one thing, it's that I am always right.
I completely agree with you, Deez.
Thank you, Jay.
I hate that so much. Oh, my God. I hate your whole stockhold of little catchphrases you got.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jay.
You're the worst.
I thought the song said, Jay wishes all people were gone.
I mean, that's more close to the truth, actually. I'm just waiting for the anarchy to begin.
Jay, how do you really feel?
I'll admit, I feel a little bit of pedophilia going on.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's kind of non sequitur right now. Not really what we're talking about, but
let's segue from that. So this is probably, especially by the time you guys hear it, a little bit old news, just because everything in this administration goes so quickly that you don't really have a chance to think about something
before
the next scandal. Probably be nuked by the time you hear about this. But yeah, the NFL scandal, if you will, that's happening just because people are exercising, athletes are exercising their right to free speech, using their platform to bring attention to police brutality against African-American communities. People have changed that. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about how kneeling is disrespecting the veterans and the flag and the anthem, when really it has fucking nothing to do that. And like LeBron and Colin Kaepernick, they've all said that they have no issue at all with veterans. They have no issue with the flag or the anthem, really. They're just trying to draw attention to an issue at hand.
Well, so, okay. And we've kind of talked about this before, but I'll start here. I have no problem with the kneeling. The kneeling doesn't bother me at all. I am not what I would call a patriot. The flag means nothing to me. It's just a symbol. I don't give a shit about the flag at all. I appreciate everyone who's fought for this country, but I don't think idolizing the flag is ridiculous.
It's
stupid.
It's almost like a fetish in a way they fetishize the flag.
It's just a weird thing. It's just nothing.
People that are doing that though also have like flags on a T-shirt and flag.
Yeah, they beat us. Look what we're talking
about.
Well,
but here's the deal. Like, it's the people who are like they're saying, oh, well, you're disrespecting the flag or you hate veterans. Like, you're either stupid or a liar. Because you're so dumb that you don't understand the reality, or you're just a fucking liar. It's one of the two. I can't believe that you actually believe that.
And it's like being racist but without. Right. They get to be
exactly.
They get to be a little more like whatever they are.
Here's
what
my bigger
for them
Here's my bigger problem with this, though, that where I really come down on it is, again, I don't care about the kneeling. Kneel, don't kneel, whatever. Your call. It doesn't bother me. I think it's a zero. I don't think it fucking does anything. It's like an end war bumper sticker. On September 11th, 2001, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed didn't see an end war bumper sticker on a Prius.
But
we're talking about something everyone knows about.
No,
but it's something everyone knows about.
We talked to my mom and dad a few months ago, and like they literally don't even understand.
Understand which part?
They don't understand, like, you know, they watch like Fox News and stuff, so okay. Like, they don't understand like the actual depth of like the symbolism of this.
Right, like but there I want follow up. Yeah. My thing is I want follow up, and like these NFL players, like they kneel and then they go home to their palatial mansion and play themselves on Xbox One on okay. NFL 2000. Like have a don't just be like, yeah, I knelt and.
So
I'm good to
go
home.
Be like a monk or something.
No, just
like
do
that.
Something. Like do
they are
something.
Doing something.
That's not action. That's not action. That's
wait,
like
that's I your, think because
you're,
action.
You're saying there's different levels of action. So
I think it's pretentious. I think it's pretentious to be like I'm gonna kneel, and then I'm just gonna go home. Like I want. Like I don't like. Do something. I'm like have an action afterwards. Be like, what's the plan to correct this? Mm-hmm. Let's correct it. Don't just talk about it. Like, let's correct it.
Well, what I think is really kind of crazy.
Solved then, like uh-huh. They're one person.
Yeah. What I think is really crazy about this situation, though, you have our head of state. We have the president who's saying at this point that these players should be firing for using their right to free speech.
Oh, that's stupid.
Which is insane. But I also wonder, like. Coming from the right and his base, what? So if kneeling isn't appropriate, they're like, don't go protest on your own time, not while you're at work. What? They don't like Black Lives Matter. They don't like it when we march. They don't like sit-ins or anything. I'm just curious what they would view as an acceptable form of protest.
Well, anything that they agree with is an acceptable form.
Yeah,
of
that's
protest.
What I'm saying. They just don't. They just want to ignore the issue.
Well,
they either don't believe it exists or they don't care that it exists.
It's probably both.
The best thing I've heard about the kneeling so far was like a young middle school girl was kneeling mm-hmm. at like a volleyball game, and the picture, you know, was being shared around Facebook, and it was the mom like taking a photo of her daughter, and this, you know, young 15-year-old, 14-year-old mm-hmm. black girl's kneeling, and her entire team of white teammates is all standing, and the mom like describes in the post like, oh, the other teams don't touch my daughter's hands when they shake hands at the end of the game. Her teammates stopped high-fiving her when she started kneeling.
Really?
And like that's happening to a 14-year-old girl that's protesting, that's seeing something and agreeing with it at 14. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there was a dialogue or something that was talking about, like, so when athletes kneel, they kneel because a player is injured. Like, mm-hmm. that's the most traditional form of kneeling yeah. within athletics, is, like, you take a knee as, like, a respect to something being injured. And the idea behind it is they're kneeling because the country itself is injured and people are being, yeah. you know.
That's one way to...
And then, and to me, like... That is the easiest way to take someone from a far right perspective that's like saying like they're kneeling to disrespect America and disrespect the flag. Like,
it just depends how seriously like, you want to like take this. You want to be take first. You're like taking yourself too seriously. I think if people are getting like really worked up on either side. Of
yeah.
Like, yeah, but also being able to like.
And also, if I had to worry about this in my life, I would kill myself. If I like actually worried about something like this.
But,
like,
so but the,
not crazy. Like, worry about fucking.
But the, I mean, that's the thing though, is that like Jay said, people are now more worried, and like Dee said, people are now more worried about the flag and kneeling than they are talking about the whole reason.
Yeah.
Well, no, the like, let me finish. The whole reason why this started was Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. and you're, I mean, like Tony and I had a conversation with his parents, like we were saying, his dad like doesn't understand and doesn't think Black Lives Matter like has any validity,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. like why, like I don't understand, and like we're driving around in Seattle, and his dad's like, look, there's black people and there's a Muslim guy, and like is like pointing
it's
them
pretty,
out.
It's pretty over the top, but it was like that. I mean, wow, and my dad's like a super educated
yeah.
guy. Worldly guy too.
Yeah,
he's thinking like that. It's like, wow.
And
well, it's sure they exist, but are they given the same, you know, treatment
yeah,
that the rest of us are? No.
His mom said, I will never forget this. His mom said the last time we saw them a month ago, she's like, we like Trump briefly came up, like they're saying goodbye to us basically, and then the president comes up and she's like, I don't know, I just really respect a president that's like getting things done. And I was just like, that's what's fucking terrifying,
yeah.
is that he of all people is capable of getting things done.
Well, he's been pretty ineffective so far, at least.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's going to be over with, you know, paradigm shift. It's going to be, this is just going to be like something everyone's like going to bow their head about, you know.
He's
like,
going to tweet at 4 a.m. one day, and we're all going to wake up the next morning, and there will be bomb threats on our country. Nuclear bombs. Well,
that's kind of already happening.
Like, no, honestly, the,
that's the reality that we're living
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I get push notifications from CNN, and so I woke up one day, and I was still kind of blurry. My eyes were halfway open, and the first two words I saw were Trump attacks, and I was like, all right. Oh, a 50-50 chance that this is either a country or just an individual
or a celebrity,
civilian.
Or
a celebrity.
Celebrity.
It's like, let's see, are we about to get nuked or is he just going after
Andy
Meryl
Dick.
Streep? Yeah, or it's exactly yeah. anybody. So yeah, it's scary times we live in.
Yeah, I just my whole thing is I want action. I think people are really, really just everyone wants to feel like they're on the right side of something and they don't want to actually fucking do anything. So
do you have, like, a kind of an idea of what would be a next step of the action that you would like to see?
Well, given the fact that how do I want to put this? What we talk about, or how people talk about race these days, apparently you're only allowed to talk about your own race. Otherwise, you're a racist, which I think is fucking retarded. Mm-hmm. That's bullshit, but whatever. So I'll talk about Latinos, where I grew up with a bunch of Latinos. Latinos, I'll tell you how to fix your culture. Fucking family and education. Dad, stick around. Stop committing crimes. Mm-hmm. End of story. End of story.
Yeah,
that's
that
all it takes.
Anybody,
well, that's
we
all it takes.
We also have, as far as committing crimes, we have a, I mean, American capital that's put into the crime industry,
prisons, privatized prison system,
like that's part of why. As far
there's a lot of parts.
Well, no,
like,
but but when you look at people of color, whether it be you know any really, I mean, like as far as like within Latina culture, like if we're gonna talk about that, like in specifics with like the prison system, like that, and it might not, that change doesn't come from within the culture itself.
Yeah,
that
no,
comes within the system.
Absolutely not. That if you
we stopped privatizing prisons, then
well,
you wouldn't have
find someone to put in prison. But if you're not committing crimes, you're statistically way less likely to be put in prison.
Yeah.
So
but the crimes most people are committing at this point, like where it, like, you know, like the crimes people are committing and like the level that they get, like I guess you're like your sentence
sure
for
disproportionate sentences just, but they're still committing a crime.
Brock Turner gets to go home after
right
you know
it's a disproportionate you know sentencing and things like that. I get that, but
Jesus
but
dang it, don't do the crime, you don't do the time.
Basically, if you just commit, but the Latino culture's fucked up. It's a terrible culture. It's a
yeah.
shit culture. The dads don't stick around.
But is it a patriarchal culture as well at the same time? Like, dads don't stick around, but would you say, like, is masculinity, like...
Masculinity is a big part of Latino culture. They don't... But the dads just don't stick around. They don't educate. They don't really, like... They don't... There's so much you could do to keep the families together. And once the families stay together and you are educating them, it's not, like, it's not up to the schools, and it's only up to the schools and the church and the government so much to keep you afloat. It's up to your family. Like, the infrastructure has to start there, and you have to have a good base. You could, because I know people that have come from great scenarios and been terrible people because they're just, their family are just whatever, but you can come, there's people who are, like, came from shitty scenarios, but great family, and found a way to do it. So if you can get that family base together and figure that out within a generation,
yeah,
problem
gets
solved.
But I think that depends on a very, like, to me, that also creates, like, a very specific image of family. Because, like, for me, my dad wasn't around, really. And for me, even to this day, traditional, like, family values of, like, my parents divorced when I was 2, sure. and like I still like am mind boggled constantly
yeah.
by like mom and dad with multiple siblings yeah. family structure. Like that structure of a family still blows
well,
my fucking mind.
It's uncommon in America yeah. anymore, yeah. but that's a problem. And you see the decay in our country. All things being equal between, you know, people, let's say all things being equal between people. The best family unit is a mom and a dad and some kids. Like, that's, and you just like, and you have aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the best, that's how nature created it. All things being equal, it's the best scenario for a family. There's other versions of a family mm-hmm. that can be just as good as other versions of families. Mm-hmm. But so, and I'm not saying it has to be that scenario. I'm just saying all things being equal, that's the best version. But you can have two moms that adopt some kids from Africa, mm-hmm. and that could be a great, great family also.
See, I guess, Deez, my issue with this argument is the whole idea of family dynamic that's so micro-focused, and that's a very individual thing that as people, as a government, we can't really influence what your family dynamic looks like.
The government shouldn't.
No, exactly. But what if we're actually trying to cause change, there I think need to be grander fundamental changes, getting rid of mandatory minimums.
But you're asking the government to change the way they govern things when we are fucking ourselves from the beginning. So the government's just dealing with a bunch of mm-hmm. fucking idiots and trying to figure out the best way to do it. Granted, they're doing a piss poor job. I'll agree with you there. But if we are managing ourselves well and presenting ourselves as the best form of people into a society, the society is going to kind of follow suit.
What about so for me, like a big, my thing that I'm always tentative with government is yeah. government funding coming from privatized situations. Like,
do you mean like lobbyists?
Like lobbyists,
like that?
And like, and I guess too, I also think of like, so I guess not necessarily government funding. Like to me, when I think about, people that are regularly voting in their like local elections
yeah.
and like there has to come to a certain point of education where people are being like not just like within like I'm not talking like college even I'm just talking about like education on how government
sure.
works and like knowing that
where
you
get the money to pay for that
and yeah. but people that aren't educated enough or don't have a you know like access to knowing, to me it's education and access mm-hmm. and to me those
I don't think access is that big of a problem either. I don't think it is.
No,
there's no bouncers and bodyguards at a public library. You know, there's you could any kid with his
yeah.
with a 10 minutes of a library that has an internet and books and
yeah.
you can kind
but
of
but I'd say there is a shame that to this day is still constantly assigned to poverty. Like I don't know how many times like people will see someone that's living on the street and they'll say, oh, they can't be that poor, they have a cell phone.
Right.
Like because they own an object mm-hmm. which they might have had before they reached this dire circumstance of their life
yeah.
and that might be the only thing they have to survive today, which like 90% of jobs want your cell phone number now
yeah.
not your home number because
well,
nobody
a
has
number,
a fucking
yeah.
home phone. So that like so you have these homeless people with cell phones and then people are mocking homeless people because they have a cell phone which is the only way they can go get a job because they don't have a home phone.
How else
and
can
like,
they contact a drug dealer? Just like the rest of us, Facebook.
But, so, like, with that, though, like, the, like, shame assigned to poverty then. So, like, if you are coming from a place of poverty and then trying to rise above, like you've mentioned a couple times, like, you could come from a shitty situation, it does not matter your background, and you can find ways to make that happen. A, you have to find someone that will tell you you can do that. Because if you are never told that you, person in a dire situation, are capable of doing something else...
No one wants to talk about, like, if someone's even smart enough to do this.
Well,
but,
no,
you know,
like,
no
that's
one...
A,
but
that's a reality, too. Like, a lot of people are just dumb.
I don't think... I don't know if you have to be told. No one ever told me I could do shit. Actually, people probably actively told me I couldn't do things.
You open your eyes and see, watch society.
You know?
Yeah, or you see... But, or you see, like, for you, Deez, it could have been, like, a super, like... like a minimal thing. It could have been you seeing somebody do something once, you know, especially now, like in the age of social media, like today, like now someone can see a video of someone opening a restaurant out of their car, like, and like all of a sudden, like, oh yeah, that's a reality. Like anyone can have.
We're still talking about Latinos.
but like, there's like, you are seeing, like you are seeing people, achieve what is their dream more often now, like, right. Because we are drawing focus as a society to that, because that's a good balance to all the other shit. But for me, like, the shame assigned to people that are poor when they try to get educated, and especially now we are in a system where the price, we are like the cost of a college education that's required, but then once you reach college,
you don't have to go to college, though.
No, but like that's, I mean, but they also tell you when you're 17 years old, oh, you cannot get a job today without a college degree. Oh, you have to get a college degree. So for you to get a college degree, it's going to cost you anywhere between $3,000 to $50,000 a year. And then you go, you make it through that system. And then what job are you getting?
Yeah, but you know what? Okay, so the shame of being poor, but what about the shame of being rich? You don't know what those people go through. Like, sometimes their pocket square doesn't match their tie.
Sometimes they have to wait for the yellow light.
Right. Sometimes they can't find their monocle.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, they have to drive the Mercedes CSL, but the gas, not the diesel. That's embarrassing. That's really embarrassing, guys. You can't, you know... Skyler's got the diesel M6 version, and you've just got the, you know, 8-speed automatic gas. That's embarrassing, guys.
Yeah, on the subject,
there's a lot of shame in being rich.
Oh my god, I just have to say, yeah, I think it's really difficult to build a house on a rotten foundation, and there are a lot of fundamental changes that have to be made. It's not going to be an easy issue.
They're all gonna, old conservative people are gonna die. We don't need to worry.
Here's the problem: we can't have it's the extremes. I don't like anyone who's too extremely conservative or anyone who's too extremely liberal. Like, extremism on any side in any matter is like, it's scary.
But
once even someone starts saying those words, I'm like, I start to check out, because I'm like, all right, you're already like subscribed to like a whole bunch
but
of ideas
to me,
even really probably
to me, liberal and conservative are much more open to interpretation than Democrat and Republican. Me, Democrat and Republican have much more like rigorous boxes they are put in, whereas like conservative and liberal are more like gray area.
Yeah. If you look at it, I actually read an interesting article not long ago. I forget who wrote it, but it was talking about how. It was a guy who claimed to be liberal, who's, you know, a longtime liberal, and he's like being a liberal, how the left left me.
Yeah.
And basically how the left in liberalism has separated. Where like being liberal is one thing. Like, I always considered myself pretty liberal growing up. Like, do you wanna do drugs? I'm pro abortion, women's rights, blah, blah, blah. Prostitution, whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm like, yeah, cool. As long as it's not like infringing on me, I don't really care what you want to do. Liberal. Pretty liberal. But now, like, the fucking left has gone insane. It's to a point of like you.
Well, it's gone all the way to the left.
Yeah, and the right's gone insane in their direction.
Well, I think what it is with your extremes, like the extreme left is now at a point where when you look at what they're combating, like if you have a scale and you are putting, you know, left on right, one side and right, you have people with tiki torches that are Nazis, and the president is saying, like, no, like, they're not that wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just practicing their freedom of speech. Yeah. Like, you know, you have a president apologizing for, like, the silly behavior of a bunch of Nazis. And then
criticizing kneeling athletes.
And then on, like, the left side,
maybe they should hold tiki torches when they kneel.
But on the left side, you have people that are so, I would say, like, at a point of, like, I just picture, like, a shaking, like,
well,
just someone shaking.
Is that
There shouldn't be safe spaces in campuses. Campuses are learning places about learning and like open conversation and educating from other point of views and taking people's points of views. And now there's like safe spaces because, well, I don't like your point of view and it hurts my feelings.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair. We do need to toughen up and be able to hear other people.
Either stop listening or be willing to go there and disagree and combat his opinion, their opinions with your opinions, and handshake at the end and walk away.
And like, there's,
like I said, I think the paradigm's going to change. It's like going this way, and then it's going to get too ridiculous, and then the majority will go the other way. It's
kind of does that a lot. Yeah, history does.
So we just maybe we'll be alive for when it gets really ridiculous or something. Yeah.
To me, something that's interesting though, like, and this I think happens a lot with you, Tone, is you're like, why are we bothering talking about it? It's just happening. And like, well, but like, I think sometimes that's what we do. We the fact that we are sitting here now as four friends with like, I would say various levels of involvement and experience and, you know, landing at different places on the, you know, the scale, and we're all able to sit here and have this conversation. Whereas, like, there are also people today that are so tunnel visioned, and like that to me is the most scary thing, is people have become so tunnel visioned, they stop having conversations. Like, you have people on Facebook that are like, if you support Trump, I'm going to delete you. And mind you, that's probably a little valid, but also, like, cutting people out of your life because they have a different opinion from you maybe doesn't solve the problem. And maybe it might wake that person up that like there are people in their life that have such dire opposite moral like opinions from them that they like cut themselves off at that point. But there's like this tunnel vision that happens. And I think like this, like that shaking image of like the person on the left, it's the person on the left apologizing for everything happening at once. Like, that's what I picture with like super extreme people on the left, is they like are so apologetic for everything. I think of, you know, my friend in Bellingham, just like, she didn't even feel comfortable saying the word, like saying black people. Yeah. She just like was like, that's
I don't get that. I don't understand that at all, but. All right.
Yeah.
Jay.
So, yeah, this is a tough issue. We could talk about it forever, but I do think we should move on to the next issue.
Let's go.
Obviously, what we have to talk about happened, I believe.
Tom Petty died.
Did he actually die?
Yeah, he died.
Oh, shit.
My mom said he's just in the hospital.
No, he died.
Okay.
He
Tom died. Petty died. That's sad. But more importantly,
the Raiders lost yesterday.
Oh, my God, geez. I think it was late last night flowing into this morning.
Yeah.
A gunman in Las Vegas committed the largest scale mass shooting in U.S. history. He killed 59 people, injured right around 500. 200 have been hospitalized. And yeah, the
I thought it like it was he injured like 500 people.
500 people were injured. Yeah. 200 have been hospitalized, and the
I guess I assumed injured meant
so,
hospitalized.
Injured
is just a flesh wound. You just go on home.
Yeah,
you're
I think injured is just injured in some capacity. If you're like actually in the hospital, 200
Got
people,
it.
And then
Got
59
it.
Have died, and that number I've just been watching it grow all day. What? When I woke up, it was 50, and now it's 59.
It was crazy because right before I went to bed late last night, I was like pulling up Netflix as I'm you know want to do, and you know my homepage is Yahoo because I'm old. And it was like the headline was, you know, gunman in Vegas. And it was like kills two, injures like 12. And I'm like, of course, whatever. Like that happens all the time. It's like every day now, right? And I'm like, okay. And like, you know, shitty, but okay. Mm-hmm. Go to bed. Wake up next morning. Someone at work was like, hey, did you hear about the thing in Vegas? I'm like, yeah, like two people were killed, right? They're like, no, like 50 have died. I'm like, holy shit. It just, it's...
And it was one, supposedly one.
So,
it was
one guy, it was one guy, Stephen Paddock. So they discovered 23 guns in the Las Vegas hotel room. And then at his house, there were another 19 guns at his home. Which... The NRA is so resistant to any kind of gun control. I really wish we were having a registry, you know, figuring out per individual how many weapons do you have? Because at a certain point,
it's a secondary gun market.
That's what I'm saying. We need to get rid of those loopholes.
Well, I mean, yeah, at a gun show, there's no.
No,
they don't track. They don't track. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, you can go online. You can buy. That's the problem. I agree with you. Yeah. I'm just saying that's mm-hmm. how it's not getting tracked. That's how people get these things, and they, you know. And the thing
have no criminal record too. So
right.
It's like they're not on a flag, or you know, that's like one of our constitutional rights, quote unquote. So like,
don't you? Our that was written when people had muskets, and when there was a legitimate fear of potentially.
We should go back to muskets, and then you can have guns.
That would be great. I think we should totally do that. Or if there was a legitimate concern for a militant government.
Here's
now, the only legitimate argument for people having these high capacity magazines is this way our civilians can defend ourselves in case the military turns against us.
Right.
Which at that point, our government has nukes. Well, they have tanks. You're fucked.
That's the dumbest argument. When people say that, like, do you understand? Do you realize our U.S. government? Like, I don't care how many guns you have, Cletus. Like, you're not fucking making it against Army Rangers come in.
People today have guns because they want to have, and this ties so clearly to like people's possession of things. People want guns to keep their home and their family safe. But then so many people that have that. Like, I would say people that have, like, the gun safe with, like, a couple of rifles and a handgun in their house also have $2,000 of home security, and, like, video cameras and moving motion lights in their driveway.
Yeah, they've got nests
and they pay for, like, life insurance and shit. Like, we obviously get it. You care so much about your things and sure, your family.
Yeah.
But
my issue isn't with home protection or, like, If you want to have
valid.
A hunting rifle, if you want to have a shotgun, if you want to have a low capacity pistol, that's fine. But once we get into these semi-automatic rifles that have 30 plus round magazines, you're not hunting with that.
Well, no,
you're not doing home defense.
You didn't take out a whole, a whole herd of elk. I just killed 12 elk. How many tags did you get? I'm pretty sure they only give you one a year.
How did
that happen?
If you have a hollow point Kevlar piercing,
that's not necessary for civilian use.
What's up?
So are you saying that this person who is obviously has mental illness hold on. Well, I'm going to say he has mental illness if you want to kill that many people that you don't know.
Yeah, I think there's some sort of mental illness.
Oh, absolutely.
To be willing to do that, there's...
To me, though, that's...
No, I was going to say I think what you're saying is this was still going to happen, but it would only a couple people would have been killed.
Right.
So I think
that's still a weird moral issue. Like, okay...
Yeah, so exactly. So if we look at what happened in Freeman just the past couple weeks ago, that kid had a couple of guns, but what happened was his gun jammed up on him, and it was during that period that the situation kind of got resolved a little bit because his gun jammed up, and so he wasn't able to continue firing. So when you have to change a magazine, like if you just have a pistol that has like 10 rounds in it, you can't do as much damage. But when you have these assault rifles that you can easily make from semi to fully automatic,
It's all conversion posts aftermarket.
Yeah.
So.
But to me, there's something really dangerous that happens. So like, mental illness, yes. Like, there is probably, like, he's been, the things I've seen online of, like, I had no idea. Like, this isn't the person we knew. Like, he just liked hunting and gambling. Like, there's that voice, too. Like, sure, there's that dialogue. There's his family and friends that will say that. But what about the undiagnosed mental illness? And then, to me, that line itself is like, yes, mental illness may have played a part in this, but is now...
You're completely out of your mind if you kill...
Shoplifting. No, but saying with mental illness, with like a mass murder, is now that phrase, mental illness, is what people... So then... Like, when you think about the way people are describing that, so you say mental illness, and it's vague. and it's like indirect.
Right, well, different types. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but various. but then you think about the culture we live in, where people read a sentence, and that's how they get their news. They read a sentence on Facebook,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter.
So you see, like, man with mental illness mass shooting. Like, if that is like, if mental illness is constantly paired with mass shooting, so then.
That.
Well, no. Like, let me explain my point. When you start talking about mental illness and the times we talk about it the most, like, you get the country talking about it is when it's gun control and gun safety and mass shooting, and that's when mental illness gets talked about. So then when people try to talk about mental illness in day-to-day life, it doesn't even seem real. Like, you can't have mental illness. Like, you're not, like that's how, that's the society, like, when we make those connections, like, immediately, it's like, oh, mass shooting, he has mental illness. There must have been unaddressed mental illness. Like, no, that person's probably an extreme sociopath.
Mental illness,
like, that is
I mean, that is kind of a form of mental illness. It's just, it's the blanket statement. I understand what you're saying.
But mental illness or not, should American civilians have access to this kind of weaponry without
there's no need for it. There's no need for
it. I just don't understand why common sense gun control keeps getting shut down.
The NRA is too embedded with the government. Like we talked about earlier, the lobbyists and their money. And here's what I'm going to say. I'll fix the problem for you right now.
Do it.
Fill all the bullets with silly string. And as soon as you start shooting, you're just having a party. Now we're just having a good time.
See, I think they can make their money. I think they can make their money.
People shooting back.
People can sell their guns, but if you, like, say anyone can own the gun, and then you make bullets, but this is what's not though. This guy was a multimillionaire, right? Yeah. He's this multimillionaire. Like, what's terrifying is he would have spent the money necessary to get that weapon, no matter what. And, like, that's terrifying.
And that's an argument that the right makes a lot. They say, okay, let's say you crack down, or they go so far as, like, Hillary would revoke your Second Amendment right.
Yeah.
So, and they're no, I know that will never happen, but they're saying criminals will still get guns either way, which that's valid. That's possible. But I do think if, like Australia, if we did a massive government buyback of weaponry, I think a lot of people would go for that, take the money, especially if you offer a good price for it.
Yeah.
And just reducing so many of these weapons from the market to get them out of the wrong hands.
I agree.
Yeah. We just went, Tony and I just went to, like, a local gun shop, and in that gun shop alone, there was 20 guns for sale, you know, and that, and that's one gun shop of probably 100, 200 in Spokane County, if not more, and that's not, like...
It's, you know... Again, I think to put a bow on it, I would say we need to the that stuff, the high capacity.
It's a bravado thing.
Yeah, like the high capacity, like semi-automatic, fully automatic stuff. Like civilians don't need them. That's for military shit.
I agree.
So, all right, guys, we're gonna wrap up here for the evening. But this is the part of our show where I don't know if you guys have been on since we started doing this. We end the end of every episode by going around and saying nice things about each other.
Oh, yay!
So, it's a great part of the show. We got this little happy music.
Yeah, I like this.
I like how you end our conversation with mass shooting with this music.
Hey, you know what? Upbeat. No, I tried to end it on silly string.
Okay, sorry.
I had been a part of this.
All right. Tony, I am very thankful for the friendship we've crafted over the last year or so, and partnership, and I love you, man. You're one of my best friends. I'm happy to get to work with you, and I sent you something a little while ago that made me think of you. I don't know if you'll remember, but it was like a post of like
James Franco
and I forget his name.
Seth Rogen.
And, like, something from them when they were on the set of a movie from, like, I don't know. Or, like what was that show they were on? They were on some TV show together, like, the Nerd, some grad.
Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. And,
such a good show.
And, like, there's a picture of him 15 years later. It's like, they're both laughing still. And he's like, so still laughing from so-and-so's joke. Like, this is going to be us in 15 years.
So,
Devin, I love you also. You're one of my best friends, too. I love being able to get to know you guys, and I love just how creative you guys are. Your comedy, your poetry, everything. You're just some of the most unique people I know, and I love that about you guys. I love being able to hang out with you. I feel like I don't see you guys enough. Unfortunately, we're so fucking busy that, like, we don't get to see each other, just, like, hang out. Tony hit me up a while ago. He's like, hey, you want to just, like, hang out with, like, people? I'm like, yeah, I do. We should, but it's, you know, the fuck do you do it?
Just make sure all our stuff intermingles.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We still see each other. Yeah. Jay? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
You look like you're about to have a stroke or something.
I'm trying not to breathe when I'm not talking.
Oh, why?
Because you're going to get me sick.
Oh, got it. Sorry. I'll apologize ahead of time if I get you sick.
Okay. At this point, you might as well just spit in my mouth. I've been trapped in this room with you.
Yeah.
Not in a fun way.
I'll tell you disgust me. get real hot real quick. I don't know if I said this to you last week, but congratulations on getting engaged.
Thank you.
But I'm going to say it again.
You did.
Okay, good. I wasn't a total asshole then. I want to say that I am excited for the next... Oh, I'm sorry to see Traz go, but I'm excited for the future of the show with you on the show. And where the chemistry we get with the next person. And, just having you here every week is great. You're awesome. Thanks. You're super funny. And I want, you know, you're going to be the big dog now in the yard.
Hell yeah.
Because, I mean, Trav's here a little before you were. Now you're here before he is.
Old dog on the block.
Yeah, you're second in command.
Sweet. Let's bring some fresh meat.
Yeah. Whip the new one into shape, whoever it is. So. All right. Guys, who wants to go next?
I'll go. I guess we'll start in to the left. We did that. I will compliment Jay by saying I am now reading Jay's book.
Oh, how far?
Yeah.
Are you doing?
I'm in the first chapter. Okay. I'm at the end of the first chapter.
Close.
I will also apologize for my editing.
It's totally fine.
No, but I'm so excited to get to know you by reading your writing. I feel like that's one of the best ways to get to know people is reading their work. Being someone of a similar creative thing is super exciting. Mm-hmm. Finding someone that's doing what we're doing, making their art and their passion happen is always just like
Michael Glassmeyer's writing.
So it pushes me to know that like I'm so lucky to know these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stoked to read your book, and so far it's so exciting and so good.
Thank you, I really appreciate that.
With Deese, if my husband ever leaves me, at least I know who it will be for.
He'll be in good hands, don't worry.
He'll be in good, rough hands.
I need a man with a slow hand.
But, in all actuality, I'm just constantly impressed by your ability to take the smaller city that we live in and make big things happen for yourself and for the creative people around you. And I really like Tony so much. I married him. I'm really thankful that we were just talking about this weekend, that creatively we push each other to points that we probably wouldn't have reached without the other. And we're just getting started, so that's the good part.
Very nice.
Am I next?
Okay. Sure.
Ditto.
Nailed it.
God, you're romantic.
Awesome. Yeah, you really push me to do a bunch of stuff. I'm nervous when I say
you can say nice things.
No, you're rad. You're my best friend. So, and you're one of my idols. So, creatively. Jay, I could say the same. I could say the same about both of you guys. Like, I don't think, you have to be, like, someone has to be older than you for you to look up to them. Like, I think that creatively and, like, initiative-wise, you guys are both, like, going out and getting it, and I respect that a lot.
Thank you,
Tony. I think it's cool that like we're all like gravitating towards each other too. Mm-hmm. So kind of almost like it's almost some accountability to that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, I can't slow down now. Mm-hmm. Like shit, I'm gonna let it, you know, all my friends around me down too, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
No, yeah, okay. It does.
Yeah. So thank you and congratulations.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
That's dope. And Deez, like I said, I look up to you. It's awesome to have like a friend my age too. That has so much in common. You know, so like we could be like childhood friends and like that could be the thing we have in common. But like we sorted through everyone, like, hey, we're the same age, kind of, so
I feel like I make better decisions now than I did when I was six.
Yeah.
It's not just proximity, like, hey, you live next door to me, wanna hang out?
Well, we could never run out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Think about it, so I like that and appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, Devin and Tony, thank you guys so much for being here. I'll start with Devin. I am so excited to start into your second book. I love the first one.
Oh, and we're out of music.
One.
Sorry, Jay. We're gonna. No, I'm just kidding.
Getting cut off.
It rolls back around. I'm just kidding.
I really love the first one. I like your guys' writing style. I think you have a great voice. Devin, congratulations on all of the exciting upcoming poetry events. I definitely want to go check them out. I know you just, what was that you won?
Just a local slam. Yeah.
That's amazing. So you are such a busy gal, but you're a hilarious comedian, an amazing poet, and a great author. So I'm excited to see what you do.
Thank you.
Tony, you were one of my... So when I started comedy, I think it was 3 years ago now, it can be a really intimidating, hostile scene, but you were such a welcoming, warm person. Like, I really respected you as a comedian. I always thought you were hilarious. Your gay yogurt set is so fucking funny.
Which one is it?
I'll explain to you off there. But yeah, you're an amazing person as a comedian and just as a human being, and yeah, and also a really talented writer, which is a fun thing that I didn't know about you until recently. So yeah. And then Deez, despite giving us all the plague, I'm sure I love and cherish you. I think you are the busiest body I've ever met, and you need to stop eating leftover mac and cheese, dude. That's just stop it.
Just good buy your own mac and cheese.
I don't want to buy. I didn't have. I was at the store.
Just stop with that. But that's my only critique of you.
Thanks, Jesus. The compliments are fucking yelling at me. Yeah, all right. Well, thanks, guys. That was fun. So for I think that's gonna do it for us. Again, check out Kiss the Messenger on the Facebook page. Follow, like, and follow. Check out all the events coming up. Lots of dates coming up. And again, you can find, guys, plug your social media.
Yeah, my Instagram and Twitter are Delphine Danger, DELPHINE, Danger. You can also buy our book and check out more information about what we've got going on our website, Devin Devine, Tony Russell.BigCartel.com.
All right. And again, you can find Tony and I, and Devin will be there also at the Spokane Comedy Mixtape Album recording live at the Bartlett November 21st, so look out for more details on that to come. Just announced, you can find Tony also November 15th hosting the open mic at Spokane Comedy Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Just looking
you
at this.
You saw it before me.
Yeah, just looking
awesome.
At this list here.
See, our friendship's amazing. So symbiotic.
And also, the last weekend of November rolling into December, he'll be at Joker's Comedy Club in Richland. And me, guys, you can find me this Sunday, October 8th, at the Spokane Comedy Club hosting the Drink and Debate comedy competition every Sunday at the Riddler, 718 West Riverside Avenue at the Riddler. Piano bar. I got a bunch of stuff coming up in November. I'll be in Richland. I'll be hosting for Dan Cummings at the Comedy Club, 9th, 10th, and 11th. All kinds of shit, guys. So come check it out. Go see Jay every Friday at the Blue Door Theater in the Garland District of Spokane.
Oh, yeah. This is my first one this Friday of the No Clue.
That's
pretty
right.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So good.
So, all right.
Sounds better than Chance.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, for the social hour, I am Deez, and for Jay and Devin and Tony.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
For
having Thank
us.
You for
Have
having
a good night, guys.
Thanks, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Stranger's Food, my insides, Oliver Twist, my doctor, the rape triad, the flag, and the family unit. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
I remember being 23 and getting tested, and they were like, yeah, you're clean. And I actually was like, wow.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios Podcast Network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!